Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, this is Mac, and you're listening to Mac's Musings. Sorry if you had a lag or anything, but I had to restart the show, and so it's going to take me just a minute here to put in the phone number of my guest, because there was a little trouble there. So hang with us, please, and we will call him, and hopefully this time it won't go straight to voicemail. Okay, here we go. And his name is Lord Nelson.
Hello, hello, hello.
This time.
Yes,
hello, Lord Nelson.
Yes, how are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Doing well. Can you hear me clearly? I have my AirPods on, so I just want to make sure you can hear me clearly. If not, I'll take them out and just go straight through the phone.
Yes, I can hear you okay. And if I can hear you okay, then people should be able to hear you. And just so you know, we're live. You know,
it's awesome.
I always tell people that.
We're live, yes.
So you live in South Carolina. How's the weather over there?
It's not too bad. It hasn't been too bad. Earlier it was a little cool, as a matter of fact, this morning. So, it's not too bad. It can be very hot, of course, but I think South Carolina has a nice climate. The summers can be hot sometimes, but they haven't been super, super hot the last few years. But so it's been all love.
Well, here in my part of Ohio, anyway, it's been actually pretty good. We got a little reprieve from the heat because the AC didn't come on all day until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was something. Okay, just hang with me for a second because I'm trying to share the link. And it's not letting me, but while it's loading up, because it's having a hard time. So while it's loading, I'll just ask you another question. Luckily, I can do more than one thing at a time.
Multitasking.
Yeah. So have you always lived in South Carolina?
I am actually a military kid, young lady. And so I was born in Charleston, South Carolina. But I didn't spend much time there. Born at the Naval Base in Charleston, South Carolina. And then after that, we moved right to Kansas. We stayed at Fort Riley for a while. And after Fort Riley, we went to Panama. And after Panama, we came back to Charleston for a little bit. And then we moved to Fort Benning, Georgia. Yes, we moved to Fort Benning, Georgia. Then after Fort Benning, Georgia, we moved to South Carolina again, Charleston, because my father went to Korea for a year. And so after that, we moved to Columbia, South Carolina, to Fort Jackson. And back to Georgia. Anyway, I'm a military kid. So we've been a few places, but South Carolina is my home, and I love it. Nothing finer than to be in South Carolina.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yes, indeed.
Although I got to say, I do like Ohio, even though we have strange weather. We have very strange weather. It'll go, especially in the winter. We can have like fairly nice winters, and then all of a sudden it'll just boom. We'll have a blizzard. We've had blizzards up until June, even. So it gets pretty weird here.
Yeah, I know my sister's.
So now,
okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're the guest. You go ahead with what you were going to say.
I was just going to say that my sisters live in Boston, and they bad weather also. You know, they catch those blizzards and those storms. So while I tell her it has snowed, I tell them it has snowed down here in South Carolina. They always tell me that you really don't know anything about snow. Yes.
I have quite a few friends in L.A., and they'll be complaining when it's, 70. They'll say, oh, it's so cold. I'm like, cold? Okay. One friend of mine, he even says that he has to put his long johns on because it's 70. Okay,
oh, that's
whatever.
A good, that's a good temperature there, yeah.
you need to move back to Ohio because he used to live in Ohio. So now, as you were growing up and, you know, going to all these different places, when was it that you realized, and at what age approximately, did you realize that you really had this taste for music?
Always had it. Always been music in our house. My mother and father, they always, you know, back when, you know, I'm a little older, and so they had the console where they had the tape deck in there with the record player, you know, it looked like a big piece of furniture. And we had so much music of all genres, and we always played music all the time. My mother and father always played music. And so it was, it's just always been there. And then, you know, at a young age, I would always write stories. I was always a great, you know, storyteller when it came to writing a story. And so when, you know, the rap thing came in around, like, you know, 79, 80, you know, I'm really, really young, but my brother's a DJ. He's still a DJ. He has his own internet radio station now also, but he's been a DJ for years. He's an amazing DJ. And he took me to this, you know, all this rap music when it was coming in the 80s for us down here. And I just got into it. And I just started writing, and I would go to some of his shows that he would DJ, and he'd let me get on the microphone as a youngster and do my thing. You know, I always looked up to him like he's the greatest in the world. I looked at my dad, too, but my brother was, like, the greatest, you know, as they say, the greatest thing since sliced bread. So just looking at him do his thing and being around him, I really got into that part of the music. But I'm not a genre snob. I listen to everything because I just love music. Music is unlike anything else. It is the most beautiful form of entertainment to me. I love music. I can't live without
it. I hear you there. I love music, and I love all kinds. And, of course, I have slight preferences towards one thing over another. There aren't very many musical forms that I don't like.
Right.
I would say that my least favorite is country, but
why do people say that?
Actually, I'm one of the few people that I know that says that, but there are lots of country music songs and music that I like. So it's not that I dislike it. That's just my least favorite, that's all.
So you're telling me that you don't like any okay, so I'm just, like I say, I'm an older dude, 80s, 70s, you know, I was born in the late 60s. You know, so when I came up, you know, listening to all of that, and being a military kid, you have people from all walks of life. Religions, colors, creed. So, you know, I used to go over to friends, you know, houses, and they might, their parents might be playing this. You know, I go over to the Carruthers house, and they're playing country music, and I'm there listening to Ronnie Millsap and Conway Twitty and George Jones. It just, I mean, and I know I'm talking about all the old country artists, but that's what was great then. Dolly Parton, you know, I can go on and on and on, but it, you know, all those songs and that music was great, and we listened to it when we went fishing, you know, and actually, I was going to say, I got a song that's going to be coming out soon. It's kind of like a country-type song called What a Life. It's going to be amazing. Anyway, I love all music. I say if it's hot, it's hot. That's all I know. No matter what it is, if it's hot, it's hot. It could be
like I said, it's not that I dislike it. It's just that it's my least favorite. That's all. It doesn't mean that I dislike it. I don't dislike it. I like a lot of those songs. And I had a similar experience, sort of, as you, because my dad was a captain in the Army. And so
yeah.
I kind of had that, too. And he was in World War II. I was born in 1960, so I'm older than you. And we had one of those things that I think you were talking about it. And, well, you might not have the exact same thing that we had. But we had this great, big, giant console thing. And it
mm-hmm.
had, in the middle of it, was a TV. TV there, and then there was like a top where you could put stuff on it. And then on one side was, a phonograph. And then on the other
right.
side was for you to put your records that you had. You could store all your records in there. And most of what my dad had was country. And what else did he have? Like 40s stuff. And one of the things that he had I really loved from the Torch songs, was Blue Moon. And of course, when they redid it several times, I did like the jazzed up versions and all that. But I'll tell you one of my
mm-hmm.
favorite versions of the Blue Moon, and I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it's really great. But you don't get to hear the whole thing because they didn't actually do the whole song. It was just like a
right.
partial bit of a song because they did it for a movie.
Uh-huh.
What's the name of it right now? I can't think of the name of it. Adventures on Mars. Pluto Nash, Adventures on Mars or something like that.
Pluto Nash, uh-huh.
Adventure on the Moon. Yeah. So on Pluto Nash. So you've seen the movie.
I'm trying to remember the part, but yes, I have.
Okay, cool. So then you will probably remember as I say it. At the very beginning, when it's starting, they play a very modernized, well, at least at the time, it was very modernized version. And they mixed, like, the old Torch song type of Blue Moon, and they mixed it with rap. And that is the
right.
best version I have ever heard of Blue Moon. And I played it for people that they'd say, well, I don't like rap. And I said, well, not all rap is the same. You've got to listen to a lot of it. And so then I'd
right.
play them that, and they'd be like, that's not rap. And yeah, it is. The thing that you hear the most is the rap. What's underneath where you can hear it, but it's not quite as loud, is the old Torch way of singing it. But very loud in the foreground is the rap part. Oh, it's great. So I tell people they should listen to it all the time. I love that. But I have talked to them, the group, and they said that they could make a whole version. And so, well, that's the way it goes. So have you always, you play an instrument? Do you only play one, or do you play several?
When it comes to instruments, my sister played the saxophone, my sister played the clarinet. I am a big, tall, amazingly good-looking front man. That's what I am. I am a vocalist. That's what I do. So I get up there and I write that's what I am. I'm a front man. So I don't play the instruments, but I will say that my bandmate now for Plastic Catastrophe with Lord Nelson, Matt Acevedo, he and his wife last year for my birthday, they gifted me a guitar. And I've been wanting a guitar for a long time. And so I've been practicing. I'm not ready to show the world what I've learned yet. But one thing I found out is that how talented he is playing that guitar, because it is definitely something that takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of practice. So I have a newfound respect for all musicians playing any instrument. It takes definite talent to be great at it. Let me say that. So, yes, I'm just a vocalist. I say I'm just a
nothing
vocalist.
Nothing wrong.
I love
with
being
that.
A vocalist.
Indeed. Yeah, it's not for everybody, because even if you can play the instruments, because, see, my problem is I'm just good at picking everything up. So,
right.
Like, I can go to a piano and I can play some stuff, or I can play something on a guitar. I can play something on, you know, basically anything. I can play a couple of songs here and there. But my problem is, though, is that I never wanted to practice and practice so that I would get really good. I didn't want to do that. I was satisfied with just being able to play a couple of songs here and there.
Well, you know, hold on. That you know what that tells me, though? That tells me that there's something else that you really like. So what was more important to you than music?
Oh, there was quite a few things that were more important than music to me. But what I was into more, and it's partially because of family members, and it's not that I'm bragging or anything, but I have family members and friends in the film business, actually, as do you, because we have a mutual friend that's a filmmaker.
But
growing up, I had that really in my blood, you might say. So I was always the one that was in the drama club and doing plays and stuff like that. And I wrote them even. And so what they used to do with me, because I didn't like, I could do it, I just didn't like it. I didn't like only learning my lines, which is what most people do, because they don't want to memorize the whole play. But because it's so easy, because I have an eidetic memory, so it's kind of easy for me, and especially when I was younger, so it's easy for me to, like, look at something and then I'll just remember it. And so I memorized whatever the play was, I memorized the whole thing. So what they started doing with me in school was I was an on-stage prompter. So I started having a role where I may not have had like a big speaking role, but I was always on stage, though, because I'd be there feeding the other people their lines, the ones that had the big roles but couldn't remember their lines.
Couldn't remember, yes.
So really that's what I liked. I did take a class for flute. I got to be pretty good with the flute, but I really didn't care that much about it. And that's how I knew that, why am I going to waste my time on that when I, you know, I don't care about it. Because everybody in band with their little, you know, whatever it was that they were playing, they really had a passion for whatever it was.
Right.
Yeah. So I would joke around with them and say, yeah, the only passion I have is for the triangle. Give me that triangle. I'll play that. So you really like singing. Actually, I like singing, though. And I have sang in public and on stage. But not to the extent that, you know, you do it. Never, maybe semi-professional, but not really professional like you. But so with your singing, do you like to do solos more? I'm just curious, and I'm sure other people might be curious too. Do you prefer to do solos, or do you prefer, like both exactly the same, to have you know, a bunch of people singing all at the same time and get that little melody and harmony?
Well, I am a big melody person. And I'm going to say, in the metal side of things, me doing, I would say there wasn't a whole lot of melody there, but when we did have the melody, I'm going to say that when I came to Stuck Mojo, I brought a lot of melody And so Rich was Rich. Rich Ward, the Duke, ball player for Stuck Mojo, one of the founding fathers of Stuck Mojo. Rich kind of catered things to my voice and how I did things. He was kind of like, you're a more melodic type individual, and so let's kind of cater things to you the way that you do it. And I thank him for it. So I love when he would get on there and sing or whatever like that, but it was always mainly about Jordan. But I could have 50 other people on there singing with me. I think I'd enjoy that also. It's just the beauty of music that I love. So if it sounds great, it sounds great. I'm not that kind of person. I have an ego, of course, but I am a very welcoming and embracing individual. And so, yeah, it's just love to me. So I love melodies. I can hear a choir sing. I can enjoy that. I just enjoy music. I enjoy the beautiful tones and sounds of just, voices. Just if it sounds great to me, I don't care what genre it is, what it is, I'm going to enjoy it. Because a lot of people say my music listening is eclectic, but I love so many different things. So I can go from listening to a classic rock album to an R&B album to a pop album to a rap album to, I just say classical music. I can listen to it all. Country music, I can listen to it all. Ronnie Millsap, there's a stranger in my house. I mean, I love all of it. I love it all.
You got me going, Mac. Well, that's quite all right. That's what you're supposed to do. It's a talk show, so it's good that you're talking.
Yeah.
I've had a few guests, not too many, but I've had one here and there where, for whatever reason, whether they were nervous or whatever, they didn't seem to want to talk, and trying to get them to talk is like trying to pull teeth. And so I'm ending up like talking most of the time, and which is okay because I can do that, but I don't like to do that because I want them to be able to talk about whatever it is that they want to talk about, which sometimes they have something important to talk about, but it's like I ask them a question and they'll give me a one word answer. So you're doing great.
I haven't had that yet. Chris Aiken, and I don't know if you know Chris. Chris lives in Cleveland. Of course, he's over the CMS network, which I'm on with my podcast, the Classic Metal Show Network. And Chris is from Cleveland in Ohio. So Chris, he would always tell me, he said, yeah, you're going to come across, that interview, or I like to say conversation, that conversation where there's going to be somebody that's just not into it or just whatever. And just like I told him, I'm just going to laugh at him. Be funny to me. So I was just like, okay, if you don't want to be here, that's all love with me. It's all beautiful. I'm never going to let it bother me because, they may be having a bad day. Who knows what's going on? Life can change the best laid plans. So all I do is I'm going to get on there, just like right now, having a conversation with you. I'm already having a wonderful time. I'm enjoying myself because I do love to run my mouth also. And so I'm thankful and grateful, just the fact that you asked me to be here. I really am. So I have fun with it. So anybody that comes on my show, we're going to have a good time. If we don't have a good time, it's on you. It's not on me. It's on you. It really is. But it's all love, though. It really is.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way because it's like, okay, I'm so laid back, and I'll ask a few questions here and there, but they're kind of like a lot of times open-ended questions because I want the person to like get into whatever it is that they want to talk about. It, to me, it's all about the guest, what the guest takes the reins, and I kind of just sit at the sidelines and let them talk. I mean, granted, I'm talking a little bit, but that's also something else that I like is when we both are talking and we're enjoying the conversation. And that's the way that's the way I think it should be anyway. And
of course,
again, not to be bragging on myself, but I had one guest that, and I'm not going to use her name or anything because, well, for one thing, I don't have permission to say it.
Use it. Use it.
Well, I mean, everybody knows that she's on the show, so it's not like a secret, but it's just the idea that I don't have her permission to use her name right at this time. So she's really famous. Yeah, and she's really famous, and she was on a really, really, really popular TV show for many, many years. And she was on my show, and I gave her an hour and a half because she's got like this really great big long repertoire in her, you know, movie business. Well, and TV as well. And then we talked about different things, and I had asked her about something that I almost said what it was, and I don't want to say it because that might tell somebody that's listening who it is. Something that she likes to do, and it's more recent, and she even won a Guinness Book of World Records for it. And so I had brought that up, and we were talking about it. And she said, nobody's ever brought that up before. And I said, well, actually, I like that. I try for that if I can. I can't always accomplish that. But if I get that where, I've never been asked that before, well, then, hey, I'm doing something right. Because she's been in so many thousands of interviews.
Right.
I figured, I'll probably never even come to a question that she hasn't heard before. And she surprised me by saying that I did. But she just was so laid back, and she was so nice and everything. And then after the show was over, she had called me, and she told me what a great time she had and how she was so comfortable and, you know, just a bunch of nice stuff. But one thing that I wanted to say about the show, and then I'll let you talk some more.
We're good.
So she was, you know, giving answers and everything to my questions, and she was talking and you know, sometimes for a little bit of time. But there was one point where she really got into what she was talking about, and it was like several minutes, like it was maybe even 10 minutes that she was talking about it. And then she goes, oh, my God, I went over 3 minutes. And I said, I know about that 3-minute thing that a lot of interviewers have. I said, I don't have that. If I ask you a question and you want to talk about it for the whole hour and a half, you can do that. My show is laid back. I don't care about 3 minutes. And she says, I've just done so many, and this was on the air that she was saying it. I've had so many interviews where all I had was 3 minutes, and I've just gotten in the habit of limiting myself to 3 minutes, but you just bring that out where I just want to keep talking. And I said, well, go ahead.
let me tell you what's wild about that, though, is that I'm just doing my thing, but I've never heard that about the 3-minute thing, and I'm sure that it is truly that. When people, I am just like you, when people come on my show, I want them to have a good time, have a great conversation. Mm-hmm. And if they have something to say, I'm not going to stop them from having, you know, getting their view out, their point out, or just having, I'm not going to stop it. I'm just like, I want to enjoy it. I ask the question, or I want to hear what you have to say. I really do. I'm very interested in hearing what you're talking about and what you have to say. I'm all in with it. And I'm just like you when it comes to that. Please enjoy yourself. Talk that talk.
Oh, yeah.
Do what you do. Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yeah, and well, one thing that people of notoriety have said to me is they're so glad that, yes, I'll talk about whatever it is that, quote, unquote, made them famous, even though they probably did 1,000 things before that. I'll ask them the question, because I even say, well, you know, you're on the show. Everybody knows that you were on that show or in that movie. So I can't really, like, ignore that. So talk as long or as little as you want to about it. And sometimes
right.
It's surprising. They talk for a long while, but other times they just talk, like, for a minute and then they stop. Because I want them to feel comfortable about that, because I know that they get tired of hearing that, because I have an uncle that was on a famous TV show, and he just and he was in lots of other stuff, lots of stuff, and everybody would ask him about that TV show. So, and then they just keep asking him and keep asking him. It's one thing to ask somebody one question, but it's one thing to, like, ask them 20 questions about the same show.
Now, you just said that, and so I am a very super visual person, and, like, we're having a conversation. It's like I can see you. We're having a conversation. Everything that you say, I'm picturing somebody or whatever it is. So you just said your uncle was in a favorite TV show. Tell me who he is or what show that was.
No, I'm not going to tell you who he is. I don't do that. I just say my uncle. Well, because for one thing, he wouldn't like it. Because, you know, because then I'm, like, kind of using his name for, you know, myself. And I don't do that. I've actually never wanted to do that even. But there have been people that found out who he was somehow. I don't know. And then the thing that my uncle expected to happen did happen. So he knows what he's talking about. Because these people found out somehow that I was related to him. And so they were bothering me for information about him and wanting me to get him to call them and different things like that. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I told him that they were doing that, and he said, "See, that's what I told you. That's what." And I said, "Yeah, but I didn't tell them who you were. I never used your name ever." But he said, "Well, the crazy people have a way of finding out."
Well, you know, the Lord tells the same. Is that it's not crazy, it's the people in it. And there's no doubt people do crazy things. And listen, I was just, you said it, so I was just interested, because as a non-journalist, I just wanted to know, because you piqued my curiosity, that's all. But yes, indeed. But listen, it's all love. We do know people, and I have also, I've had people say, like, "Hey, could you do this? Could you do that?" I've really taken a step back, and it is no disrespect to anybody, because we'll ask you certain things, wanting to meet certain people and do this and do that. And, of course, everything is based on relationships and how we handle things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do my best to help people as much as possible. But, you know, you can't help everybody. Mm-hmm. You can't do everything for everybody. And my wife always used to tell me, she's just like, "You're just too nice. You try to help everybody, you know, but do they help you or whatever like that?" And I was just raised I'm just a caring, loving person. And I can't help being who I am. But as I've grown and gotten older and wiser and smarter, I just know that, you know, you can't do everything. So, you know, I just kind of take a step back, and I just, and as I say, I enjoy the moment, or I like being the moment. Like right now, this is a moment. We are the moment, you know, and I'm enjoying every single second of it. So, yes, it's a lovely thing, beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, usually I only bring him up, or any of my other family members or friends, I usually only bring them up if it has to do with what we're talking about, which it did have to do with what we were talking about.
Yeah, it did.
So
it did.
That's
what I do.
Yeah, that's really the only reason. Because otherwise, it's like, no, I don't care who knows that who I'm related to, but yeah, don't bother me. And one of my good friends that, well, she's gone now. She died of cancer. But when she was living, she told me that when she, and we were really good friends actually in real life, not just on Facebook, but she told me that these people would contact her and demand photos from her, you know, autographed and everything, and expected her to pay the postage and everything. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And the bad thing is, though, is it's that get on those forums and say, oh, well, this person has an attitude and this person has this. And no, it's because her livelihood, well, part of her livelihood, not her entire livelihood, but part of her livelihood was going to conventions and signing the photographs for people and selling them. That's how she made a lot of her money.
Of course.
So they were trying to deny her livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And a writer that I know that actually writes books that a lot of people don't even know what books are anymore, but he was at a book signing, and some person came in and plunked a bag of books, a whole bag of books that he brought from home. He brought them from home. He didn't buy them in the store. And he proceeded to demand that my friend sign every book for him. And my friend said, no, I'm not going to sign those. And he's got a little bit of an attitude, so he didn't even try to be nice about it. He said, no, I'm not going to sign those.
Right.
And so then he went onto social media, and, of course, he started talking about how nasty he was and how he thought he was too good to sign books and blah, 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 blah. And when I saw all that, I started getting on there and saying, well, yeah, and most of us know why. It's because you wanted him to sign books you brought from home. Like, why? And the funny thing was, you know, my friend, even though he's, like, got a little, you know, attitude, he still is nice, because what he said to me was, you know, if the guy would have sent me, said, well, hey, can I send you these books and I'll pay the postage and everything, if you would send them back with your autograph, would I be able to send them to you and you can sign them at home? He said, I would have done that.
Right.
But in the middle of a book signing, you're going to come in and say, hey, sign all these that I had at home. No, that's not what a book signing is for. The book signing is for you to buy their book. That's what it's for.
Yeah, you know, people really, really will test your patience, looking at you. And I always said, told people, I was like, you know, to do my, not try, I do my best. I do my best not to say try, let me say that. I do my best to be as inviting as possible. I do love people who show me love. I'm going to give them all the respect in the world. I haven't really had anybody, well, maybe I have had a few, but I haven't had a whole lot of people that have been disrespectful or whatever. You know, I'm a big guy, and I kind of, you know, I'm not some mean person. I move with positivity. And I move forward in faith and love. And you know, I expect that back from other people. Now, I don't get it all the time, which is me. I just remove myself from situations so I don't have to go through certain things. I know how to remove myself from a situation that's not good for me. And so I'm just like, hey, it's all love when everybody's showing love. But if it gets beyond, let me go ahead and move myself over this side right here. And you guys can have all that enjoyment right there. I don't want to be a part of that. I just want to laugh and want to be happy. And I want to see people enjoy my music or enjoy my podcast or enjoy my presence the same way that I'm enjoying theirs. And so I understand what he's saying fully because, you know, that's his job. That was her livelihood. Yes, indeed. And people can be very abrasive when they don't get their way and, you know, getting their feelings. But we're all human beings. And so, you know, even though certain people have platforms and they're stars, they have feelings too. And like I like to tell people, yeah, there's nobody above, you know, there's nobody above this or that. We're, once again, we're all human beings. And so we do what we do. This person just might have a little bit more fame or might have more money. That doesn't make them better than you. And when you kind of put people on pedestals, you can enjoy somebody's music. You can enjoy somebody's writing. You can enjoy somebody's movie. But when you take it to another level of understanding that they're a human being just like you, that's where it becomes a problem. That's just my perspective. And so it's like, hey, calm down. Let's just enjoy the moment. Everything's going to be great. That's just where I think.
Oh, well, yeah. And what's funny is I've even tried to tell people, I said, you do realize that when you act that way, you're actually turning people off.
Yes.
If you would do like the opposite, and I've actually had it happen with myself that like one time I was at a restaurant, and this person, I actually had never met them before. I didn't know them, but they were, you know, famous in the movies, and I just happened to be at the same restaurant they were, and people were like converged on them, and it was just, I thought, well, that poor dude, it's like, he just wants to eat his dinner, and people are bugging him. So then as I got closer to where he was in the line, I said, well, that was pretty exciting, wasn't it? And he looked at me, he said, oh, you're not a fan? And I said, well, actually, I'm actually a pretty big fan. I said, but I also believe in leaving people alone when they come to a restaurant so that they can eat their dinner.
I didn't ask him
for his autograph or nothing. I just talked to him like he was a regular guy. And evidently that, like, you know, sat really well with him. So what he had done, and I didn't find out till I was on my way out the door, manager stopped me and said, I have something for you. And I said, what? I've never had that happen before. So she handed me this little note. And the note said, thank you for the conversation and for treating me like I'm a human being. I really appreciated it, and I really needed it. And then he signed it. So I got an autograph without even asking for it, just by leaving him alone.
Right, indeed, indeed. I have a very, very good friend. And he met James Brown. May James Brown rest in peace. He met James Brown. And, you know, he was just like, hey, you know, Mr. Brown. And he said, James Brown looked at him and said, young man, I'm just like you. I'm just a human being. And, you know, even though I make music and I do all these things, he said, I'm just a normal guy. I just have a talent for making music. I made it that way. And, you know, it's something he'll never forget. And even... there's a group called Nucleus, and I actually did interview. I had a conversation with Cosmo D, who was the lead of Nucleus, and they had a big song in the 80s called Jam On It, which would, I mean, when I grew up, I don't know if you know, there's no doubt you've heard the song, and it's a great song, Jam On It. And so Cosmo and I were talking, and I told him, my brother brought him down. It was him and Run DMC and a few other groups. And here I am, you know, backstage with these guys. And we're just talking. And I'll never forget something. He said something to myself and my friend, Greg. He's just like, listen, guys, I just have a little more money than you. I'm not better than you. I'm not, that sat with me. And we were young then. That sat with me for the rest of my life. I still hear him say it. And even when he was on the show, I told him, I thank him for that, because it just made me even more aware. I never freak out with people. Or if I do and I'm excited to see somebody, it's on the inside. They'll never know it.
Mm-hmm.
But I give them the utmost respect, because even with the little fame that I have, I understand it. And so I'm just like, I will never just roll up on somebody like that and say, like, hey, I give you your space, you know, and I just kind of read the room more or less to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And I give them their respect. I just really do. you know. So I understand that clearly, and I know you do also. And but it's a beautiful world.
Yeah.
Once again, it's the people. It's the people that are crazy. It's not the world. It's the people.
But I will say that some of them, not all, but some of the crazy people can actually make it interesting too. Because you'll hear the stuff that they do, and you just gotta laugh. It's like, okay, that's really, really, really stupid, and then you gotta laugh about it because otherwise, you know. So before we get too far into, although you know we've been having a nice conversation, but I did want to ask you about, you know, not about him, but I wanted to mention him to segue, our mutual friend Jason Delzell, who's a filmmaker. Now, have you ever done any musical work for his films? And if not, would you like to do that?
I have not. I'm wide open. I am really moving into, I've done so many things for so many other people pro bono. And my wife is always like, you're just such a nice person. She's just like, now things are different. You got to move into taking things over here or there. I am open for everything, business-wise, just handling business, kind of like a rebranding of the things that I'm doing. Yes, indeed. I want to do all of that. I think that I have a talent to do anything that anybody asked me to. I know I can write any song for any genre of music. I know I can. And that's not bragging at all. It's just how I feel about it when I hear music. You know, things just pop into my head all the time about music. So I would be wide open to doing you. Listen, you said that and got me excited. I love stuff like that.
Well, you know how Jason is. He likes helping his friends, and he likes getting people excited about doing things. So it may happen sometime in the future. And I know that he's had his friends do music for his show, his musical friends do music for his movies. One of my recent guests was one. He had done, which movie was it? Jason's going to be like, what? You can't remember. Hobo Saves the World. Hobo Saves the World, and my guest had done some music for that, and he was, like, really proud of it. And I was, well, yeah, you should be proud of that. You should be proud of anything that you accomplish. And just so you know, because I want you to know, that Jason speaks very highly of you. And he was one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show. And I did do a little bit of research. Yeah, it took me a while because I had been ill, but that's neither here nor there. But when I finally started doing my research, and then I listened to a podcast that you did, because you haven't posted on your you haven't posted on your Facebook, so I listened. And it's like, yeah, I think I'm going to like having this guy on my show, and I guess I was right.
Indeed. And so who you're getting right now is who I am. This is me, 100%. Yes, indeed.
So I'm just letting you know that we're winding down now to, like, the last 10 minutes. And so I wanted you to talk about whatever you got going on now, like if you've got a new album coming out or if you've got a live performance somewhere that you would like people to go see, you know, whatever it is that you got going on now.
Well, listen, I can't believe that the time is going by this fast, to be honest with you. That's when you really know. It's just like, how much time is gone? Wow, okay. So me, right now, Lord Nelson, I am really in a rebranding phase of doing. I met this younger guy, name is Schizo. He's with Scream Team Productions. He and I have kind of got together, and we're doing some things, music that's taken me to where a more worldly type of music thing I'm doing. It's just not you know, rock or metal, or it's just not one thing. I'm just doing a collective of things. So that's mm-hmm. one thing that's going on right now. Now, I will also speak that, once again, I spoke about him earlier, Matt Acevedo. He and I, we're in a band together. It's called Plastic Catastrophe with Lord Nelson. That is a main thing for me. Matt and I, we're releasing singles right now. Every month we're releasing a single. We're just about to release a new single called Unforgettable. And we are just knocking music out. Doing this music with Matt is like I call him the magnificent Matt Acevedo. I call him MMA. And he is just mm-hmm. so talented. And we just get together and we just do music. And he's in Texas and I'm in South Carolina. But we, you know, send things. Thank God for the internet. You know, the internet is not all bad. So we're just doing music and we'll decide at the end of the year whether we're going to release an album or we're going to release an EP. But right now we're releasing singles. And we had Matt's guitar before that, a song called Crazy before that. And we are just having a ball doing music. And, of course, my podcast, Live and Live with the Lord on the CMS Network, is growing. People are enjoying it. I'm bringing guests on that I feel that, you know, I can have a great conversation with. And I'm having a good time doing what I'm doing. I'm enjoying the life that I'm living. I am thankful and grateful for every opportunity that I have to grow and to be a better person. I always say when I wake up, it's another day to do better, to be better. And I'm on your show. That's amazing to me. I am, once again, thankful and grateful that I can be on your show and have this conversation with you and share energy with you. I just think it's a beautiful thing. I am a very happy person. I'm a very positive person. Am I negative sometimes? Of course, we all can be negative. But as soon as those things hop in my mind, I'm putting up that Michael Jackson fence to get rid of it. You know, never, never land. Mm-hmm. Get away from me. I don't want to hear all that. You know, I want to stay away from that. So I'm doing a lot of things, and I'm open to doing more. And I just want to enjoy my life as much as possible and be on the positive side of things. As I said before, I move forward in faith and positivity and love, and that's my thing. And, music is great. Podcast is great. I'm just going to continue moving forward doing what I do. Yes, indeed. And once again, I can sit here and run my mouth and talk about all kinds of things. Once again, I'm just thankful for you, you beautiful person, you beautiful human being. Thank you very, very much for having me. I'm just having a ball.
Well, I think you're a beautiful human being. One thing that I would want you to say, because we do have, we still have, 6 minutes. If you could tell people where they could purchase some of those things that you've got coming out.
So, you
know, where are you selling them, on Google or whatever?
Yeah, everything, we're with DistroKid. And so you go out there on all your digital platforms. If you go out there and look for Plastic Catastrophe with Lord Nelson, you're going to find us. With our last album, so let me say this. We have an album called Firestarters. That's on M&O Music. And if you want to go out there even to the M&O page or anywhere that's out there, you can find that out there. I was with Stuck Mojo, of course, also. That music is out there also. Also, I was with Lord Nelson featuring Lies on M&O Music also. That album's out there. On Bandcamp, you can find Back on the Road by Lord Nelson and Seb L. All kinds of stuff out there on YouTube. You want to see live things with Stuck Mojo, it's out there. Listen, Lord Nelson, the rapper guy, he's out there everywhere. Let me not forget No Power, No Crown. I did an album with No Power, No Crown, which we had an amazing time doing that album. My brother, Big Steve, and the Jet, Jeff Treese, and Justin Campbell, Jack and Looney. There's so many people. I mean, I can just continue to go on. I know so many amazing musicians and just creating things. I actually have 3 new songs that are going to be coming out soon that I've done with other people, other bands, and I'm just everywhere and enjoying every single second of it. But I'm trying to get it all together, get it a little tighter, so I'm not everywhere stretched too thin, because my wife is just like, you got to, you know, listen, we're getting a little older. Just pull it back a little bit. Let's get it all together. So that's what I'm really working on now. So once again, Jason, happy young man, I'm ready to do it. Indeed, I'm really wide open. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well,
Before you get started, I know I ran over. See, I like to run my mouth. So let me ask you this. When are you going to, you know, come on my show?
I didn't know you wanted me to come on your show.
why would you laugh at that? When can I get you on my show to talk about things that you're doing and talk about your show? I would love to have you on my show also. I really would. We'll talk off air and see if that's a possibility, you know, if it's something that you would like to do. But I would like to return the favor and have you on my show also.
Aw, well, that's sweet.
And I'm not just saying that to be saying that. I'm just saying.
Oh, I know. I just don't like being on camera.
You don't like being on camera?
That's why I like doing a radio show. Now, I like using that old thing that there's actually quite a few of old comedians that used to use this, you know, especially when they were on the radio. They would say that they had a face for radio.
right, indeed. Let me say this to you.
Okay, you still there?
I cut you off. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. You said, let me tell you something, and then I didn't hear anything else.
Right. What I was going to say is that if we have to, it doesn't have to be a visual thing. I had a person who was a narcissist on my show. He didn't want to show his face. Great conversation. We can just put up a little thing. And we can just have your voice. It'll all be love. We'll talk offline. So
okay. You can always put my picture up there, too, whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, so we got, like, 1 minute left. Well, actually, a little bit over a minute. By the time you start talking, though, it'll be a minute. So whatever it is that you want to say in a minute, of like how people can contact you if they want to, or whatever it is you want to say in the last minute.
Once again, live and loud with the Lord on the CMS Network. We're out there everywhere, the Classic Metal Show Network. You can, if you want to hear any of my podcast episodes, they're out there. I have great conversations with great people, and you're going to go out there and enjoy it. Music-wise, Plastic Catastrophe with Lord Nelson, out there on all digital platforms. If you want to check us out, we're out there. The latest album is The Firestarter, but we've been releasing singles here for a few months now, and you can check those out. Unbelievable. Working with my brother Schizo with Scream Team Productions, new music coming very, very soon. I have a song out. I didn't say it. A song out right now. It's a dance house song called Move. Are you ready to dance? It's amazing. It's amazing. It's going to make you dance. So listen, I'm doing all of this stuff, and we've got some great stuff coming up. So yes. And lastly, thank everybody who's listening who will listen. I appreciate you so much. Subscribe, like, love to Lord Nelson, Lords and Legends on Instagram, Lord Lloyd Nelson on Facebook, because they wouldn't let me use my Lord Nelson. I'm everywhere. You can find me out there, and just come on and I'll embrace you. It's love, love, love.
Okay. The very ending of the show may not be on the recorded version because they will cut you off in the middle of the sentence, but sometimes they extend, but the time has run out, so I have to close out the show. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
A lot. Okay, good night.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.